Friends, I hope your day is starting well. Thanks for joining us this morning to help get your day started. It's 9 minutes after the hour. There's medications that people get prescribed and they take, and all of a sudden it complicates pregnancy. And that's probably one of the scariest things ever. Autism is more common when antidepressants are taken and Asperger's. And so we're going to talk to Dr. David Stevens. He's from the Christian Medical and Dental Association, and he's going to help fill in a lot of the blanks on some of these medications and how it affects pregnancy. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be with you, Bill, this morning.
Thank you. And your new year starting well?
It is. It's going well, and plenty to do, as you, I'm sure for you, this, you know, after the Christmas break, you're always catching up for a few weeks.
Yeah. So did you get a couple of books for Christmas? I'm just curious. What's on your nightstand?
Oh,
what are you reading?
Oh, my goodness. I've got stacks of books on my desk, two of them probably about 18, 20 inches high. and then stacks by at home. I have a lot of people send me books to endorse or want me to promote to our members and that type of thing in the Christian Medical and Dental Association. So I've been reading a lot of things, bits and other. Just picked up an interesting novel on having to do with physician-assisted suicide. I'm looking forward to reading that. It really talks about that issue in an interesting way because we're very involved in fighting legalization of physician-assisted suicide across the U.S. And this is a prisoner who decides he wants to have himself killed, even though he's not on death row, and then donate his organs. Interestingly enough, Bill, two prisoners here in Tennessee have requested that formally from the courts in the last month do that thing. So this novel just came out, but obviously it was written before this happened.
Mm-hmm. They have a desire just to say, my organs could be more useful to someone else, and I'm happy to end my life.
Yeah, this is an altruistic thing I could do, and I'm tired of being in prison. Just kill me.
Interesting. Okay, back to the topic that I think we're going to gravitate towards, and that is medications that people take that can affect their pregnancies, especially when it comes to things like Asperger's and autism.
Yeah, there's an interesting article that came out in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, looking at very common antidepressants, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, and their generics, a large study that they did actually in Canada. And it's what we call a retrospective study, Bill. That means they went back and looked at records of patients, women in particular, who had taken this drug and then looked for the incidence of autism. And autism we can talk more about, but it's a spectrum of disorders. But what they found was a correlation of about twice as many children of these women had autism than what the normal rate is. Now, the normal rate's higher than we'd want it to be, about 1 in 68 women in this country that have a child has some sort of autism spectrum disorder, Asperger's or other things that are part of that. So this was concerning. It's not proof in any way. It hasn't been backed up with another study. It's an association. But it's definitely something that needs to be thought about. And the bottom line on drugs and pregnancy is we try to get women off of all drugs possible before they get pregnant, if it's planned, or if they're pregnant, get them off if that's possible. But the question is there greater risk for being on antidepressants or greater risk from the depression during pregnancy and suicide and things like that? So you're kind of caught between the, as we say, the devil in the deep blue sea on this one.
Sure. Asperger's and autism, I guess I don't entirely know the difference, and I would love a short explanation of both of them.
Sure. Well, autism spectrum disorder, it's a new term we've used in the last number of years. Essentially what it's saying is that there are mild to very severe cases of autism. My sister's daughter is severely autistic. And by that, I mean she's never spoken. She couldn't live by herself. She has all the symptoms of neurodevelopment disorder that is characterized by repetitive patterns of behavior and difficulty with social communication and speech. Asperger's is on the other end of that. And Asperger's syndrome is not as severe. They usually have less degree of impairment with language and communication skills and the repetitive and restrictive patterns of thought, as we call it. So it's still a problem. I was with one of our members visiting him in his home, and his son, who's college age, has Asperger's, and there's challenges. And the big question everybody has about this is, why are we seeing an increase of it in our country? Because the rates seem to be going up, and nobody's really sure what's causing that.
What would be one of the signs of Asperger's? You know, if I'm a parent, and what would be some of the first things I would look for?
Well, you look for this actually in babies.
Oh, okay.
And that's where often it starts. And depending on how severe is it, how early you can diagnose it. But they won't be babbling or pointing by age one. They'll not be using single words by 16 months of age or two-word phrases by two. They don't respond to their name. They don't seem to have proper language and social skills for their age. They have poor eye contact. You're talking to your child, and they don't look back at you. They tend, as they get into, you know, between one and two, they get excessive lining up of toys, excessive fixation. They're just fixated on the tire on the truck you gave them for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And nothing can dissuade them from that. And then they lack smiling and social responses. So this is a problem with the brain. And the more we're understanding this, it seems to be in the area where the what we call the synapses, where the nerves and the brain actually talk to each other through chemical connections. And something's wrong with that. What's causing it? People think it's a combination of genetics and possibly environment, though more evidence is on the genetic side, that the brain just hasn't developed properly. It's more common in couples that have their children older, and that's happening in our country. Delayed childbearing can increase the risk. We know sometimes parents have some mild symptoms, and it may be passed on. And we think it in that way, but the vast majority of it seems to be some sort of genetic malformation that actually happens during the fertilization process. In other words, genes don't get together exactly right, and this results in it. So a lot of research going on in this area, Bill, because, I mean, people are very concerned of this increasing rate. We're seeing more and more of it. And we still have a very poor understanding of this disease, though we're pouring lots and lots of money into research.
Dr. Stevens, I wish I was as smart as you, and you're probably good-looking on top of it, which just makes me mad. We're going to take a little break when we come back. We've got more on this topic. It is 17 minutes after the hour. Faith Radio Mornings is underway. Thanks for being with us. Nineteen minutes after the hour. Good morning, everybody. So glad you joined us today. Bill Arnold here. I'm talking to Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. And trust me, he has books on his nightstand taller than my nightstand. So he's a guy who pays attention, and he's helping us process some of this information about antidepressants and how they affect pregnancy. Now, whenever you say affect pregnancy, you already have everyone's attention, because there's nothing that is more scary than this. Am I doing everything I should be doing to make sure my baby's going to be healthy? And there are, seems to be, Dr. Stevens, a lot of women are diagnosed or given antidepressants more so than usual.
Well, we know the use of antidepressants, even in teenagers, is close to 11%. So it's a very common drug in this country, unfortunately. Fortunately and unfortunately. Unfortunately, that many people are depressed. Unfortunately, we have something to give them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I think the bottom line is, if you're a couple and planning to get pregnant, you should do a prenatal visit. In other words, before you get pregnant, declare your intention. We're going off contraceptive or whatever. We want to get pregnant. There's certain things the doctor will do during that visit, and one of them is to review all your medications, both those that have been prescribed and those over the counter, And medications are actually rated according to their risk or how well they've been studied in pregnancy. The problem with knowing what drugs do in pregnancy is how do you set up a study that's not harmful to patients? Let's give half these women this drug and see if their babies have problems, and the other half we don't. No, obviously you aren't going to do that.
No.
So a lot of it's based on histories of what happened with drugs, but then also over-the-counter drugs. There's certain things and even alternative medicine type things that can be harmful. So you really need to do that. They also make sure that your vaccinations are up to date and you're on a good prenatal vitamin and you've got folate and you've got iron and all the other things you need for a healthy pregnancy. But it's very important to plan ahead. Now, if you just find yourself pregnant, you should go to the doctor as soon as you suspect that. For the same reason. The most dangerous time in pregnancy to be on medications is actually in the first 12 weeks, the first trimester, when everything is, you know, starting from that one cell stage and the fetus is really developing its organs and all the rest of it. And then in the other 2 months, they're just mainly growing. So it still can have an effect, but there's things that you can do to be just extra careful on these issues as you go about a pregnancy.
So the scarier thing is discovering you're pregnant when you're on antidepressants already, and then you have to pay attention as quickly as possible and get a good consultation from your doctor.
Yeah, you do, and the bottom line is the antidepressants, the doctor may look at the situation and decide the risk of taking them off. Let's say, for example, a woman has been suicidal and she's on antidepressants and they've made a huge difference, the risk, you know, say, wait a minute, we have a small risk that this may relate to autism or some other problems, but the risk of being off antidepressants is much greater than that. So the doctor has to make those decisions. Those are difficult decisions to make. They're educated guess, for based on the data that's out there. But you cannot say that it's going to apply to each individual. And that's just one of the struggles. But OBGYNs are trained to do that. They have experience with it. Your obstetrician and can help you work through these issues. So no way saying that if you're on antidepressants, you should stop them. If you are going to get pregnant or if you are pregnant, that is a decision that needs to be made with your obstetrician.
Mm-hmm. And it probably is also good to, if you're planning the pregnancy, is to, if you need a little bit of talk time with a therapist or you need to think I should improve my diet or get more involved in regular exercise, even if you were leaning towards a little depression, that might do something to alleviate.
Absolutely. We know that moderate to exercise makes a huge difference in depression. There's numerous studies and psychotherapy, just sitting down, talking about the issues that are making you depressed can be very helpful. That psychotherapy sounds like a big deal, but essentially you're getting together with a psychologist or a psychiatrist to work through some of these issues, and they're often related to events in the past. And, you know, they can alleviate many of your symptoms. There's certain vitamins and things that seem to help. So there's other things other than antidepressants, and of course your doctor would encourage and try to help you get on some of those things as an alternative if that seems the best way to go, progress.
Yeah, why getting moving seems to be so difficult when you're flatlining a little bit, you're feeling a little bit depressed. And I know that is there a greater tendency for doctors to be willing to prescribe antidepressants to people just if they come in feeling flat, when in fact maybe if you did try a little bit of diet and exercise, you might naturally boost the serotonin in your brain?
Absolutely. And the problem is people tend to have more trouble doing exercise than taking a pill a day. But surprisingly enough, it doesn't take intense exercise. It doesn't take going working out in the gym for an hour. 20 minutes of a moderate walk can make a huge difference. And one of the keys in doing this is just find somebody to hold you accountable. It can be your spouse. It can be a friend and say, we're going to go walking every day at such and such a time. And we're going to start out slow and we'll get better as we do more of this. And even if you're not depressed, I mean, I walk 2.5-3 miles every day I can. And if I miss a day, I don't have as much energy or seem as mentally alert because it's invigorating to do that. And exercise is so important. So you don't have to become, you know, someone who's going to be on the cover of a magazine. Just moderate type of things, 20, 30 minutes a day can make a huge difference. We actually here at the office, we work 10-hour days. We give our staff 30 minutes during the day to go down to our gym in the office or walk on the property. Because we know it makes them better workers and healthier and decreases insurance costs, and we encourage them to do it, and it makes a big difference.
And that, my friends, is doctor's orders. So, and I don't believe I'm getting a bill for that, which makes me incredibly happy.
Yeah, well, so, I'm the free doctor.
I appreciate that, Dr. Stevens. You're remarkable. We love having you on the show. Thank you so much for your wisdom.
God bless.
All right. It's 26 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. I'll be back in just a minute.